Danny Cannell joins us to preview Florida State and Georgia Tech. We reveal our 12-team playoff predictions and Heisman winners, and we give you our first edition of Locks, Leans, and Dogs for this college football weekend. Check it out and more on the Friday edition. Crane and Company. Hey, everybody out there listening, doesn't matter how you listen to us. If you haven't left a five-star review yet, please keep sharing the show. Let's make some money this football season. We all have waited, bided our time, tried to busy ourselves as talking season has dragged on through the spring and the summer. But finally, by this time tomorrow, the first college football game of the season will be winding down, but the season will be off and running. It's like Christmas, but way better. We are going through massive changes left and right in the sport, from conference realignment and NIL, the transfer portal, and to the expanded playoff. But regardless of how much the sport has changed, at least for most of us, our love for it hasn't. From small towns that run on the team to big cities that run with theirs, from the West Coast to the East Coast, from the Canadian border to the Mexican one, something about college football is just truly American. It's a passion that we literally created out of nothing and forges lifelong relationships while, unfortunately, sometimes ruining others, even if for only a day or a week. So let's argue over this and drop a couple bets on that. But at some point tomorrow, sit back and for a second realize how lucky we are to have our great sport back, regardless of wins or losses. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, excited to see if his alma mater can have an encore performance to a 15-0 national championship season. And to my right, it's Friday. Y'all know who it is. Play it.
This is flaming vodka.
He is Dragon.
Let it build. Let it build. So beautiful and it builds.
Boom, right there. 0.5.
Perfect so we game. Cannot say his name.
One mistake
good.
Is all
good. I'm ready
how it
for
should
it.
Be.
How long can
good.
We keep
great.
Danny
awesome.
Cannell on?
Good, great, awesome, amazing.
How long can we keep Danny Cannell on? But David, starting with you, we're going to do our playoff predictions here in a second. But man, it is back. It is here.
Yeah, and look, I don't know if there are 12 teams in college football that can win the national championship. I don't think that there are, but hopefully we can see that one day. And I don't think we've been given the 12-team college football playoff because the powers that be really care about the college football fan. I don't think that that's the case. I think the scheduling at the end of the season is a disaster. But regardless of all that, I have to say I am excited for the 12 teams. And filling out this prediction was a lot of fun. And I do think that there are going to be more teams in the hunt towards the end of the year. And that is going to be a lot of fun. That 8 through 12, maybe they can't win the national championship. Maybe it takes a couple years to build up to that. If ever, right? This isn't basketball. This isn't golf where you can put a field out there and it's anybody's game. But I am excited for it. And another thing I wanted to say, there's never been any such thing as a meaningless college football Saturday in the regular season.
Agreed.
Regardless if it was the BCS era, if it was the 14 playoff era, try telling the people in Oxford, Mississippi that winning the Egg Bowl is meaningless just because you're not going to make the college football playoff, or the people in Statesboro that beating Appalachian State is meaningless just because you don't have a shot to win the national championship. I've never, you know, thought that that was the case. I am excited to see, though, weeks 6, 8, 10, 12, how this plays off if a program is vying for one of the 12 spots towards the end of the season. And then obviously how this impacts the bowl games, which we've seen more and more college kids opting out of these bowl games, which is something we never heard of growing up. How is that impacted? I have to say, I am excited. Since we've been given a 12-team playoff, let's make the most of it, and let's have a great college football season.
Without a doubt. Flaming, you know what's funny? I was thinking about this on the way up to work today. When you're playing football, and David, you can attest to this as well, are coaching college football, the offseason goes by so fast. Being a fan now or a media member, it takes forever. I remember in coaching, it would be like, all right, season's over, winter workouts, all of a sudden spring practice is here, spring's over, here comes summer, next thing you know, you're at fall camp on campus before anybody else is there, and then, you know, blink twice, and you got your first game. I was talking to you know, y'all met him at my wedding. One of the groomsmen, Sam Mix, is a wide receiver coach at Montana State. They're going to play New Mexico here this weekend in week 0. And he was like, dude, I feel like we just got done in the playoffs. And it's just so drastic, the difference between being a media member and a fan as opposed to being in it, how fast it seems.
Yeah, because to me, it felt like it took forever. I could only, first of all, I feel like baseball has been going on for 3 years.
It feels like
the NBA season went on for 3 years. I can only talk about James Harden enough to my head almost exploded. But it's one of those things like you're a kid in a candy shop. That's what it is. It's the closest thing, because we've coached, we've played, it's the closest way you can get to football, and you miss it so bad. And nowadays, and I've said this all the time on the show, the only thing that can kill college football is an asteroid hits this planet. There's no higher-ups, there's no president, there's no CEO of this company that can kill college football. There's too many people that love it.
Yeah, and we're super excited for it. Also, we're not going on Daily Wire today. Obviously, there was a big announcement in that sphere that's going on right now. So we're just YouTube, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We're almost to 150,000. We appreciate you guys being here. Phone line is going to open up 2:45 p.m. Central. It's 1-855-236-3228. All right, boys, let's get into it. Throw up my playoff.
Let's see it.
So I kind of had, you guys got to understand, I don't have Notre Dame in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So when it got to picking the last teams that made it in, it got really thick. So remember, I have Georgia beating Ole Miss in the SEC championship game. I got Georgia as the number one overall seed because I got Ohio State beating Oregon, who lost, right? Georgia, I got losing to Ole Miss in the regular season. Ohio State, I have losing to Oregon in the regular season, but I got both of them winning their conference championship game. So Ohio State would be the 2 seed. Utah would be the 3 seed, beating Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship game. And then Miami, I have them losing to Florida week 1, but then running the table the rest of the way. They would be the 4 seed. They get the bye. And then it got really, really interesting. And guys, I talk about this during March Madness, and I want our audience, you can go back and check it. I'm a firm believer the theory that they want incredible storylines, the most amazing storylines you could possibly have for these matchups. We see it in March Madness all the time. How many times do you get the huge brand name matchup decently earlier? They put them close to each other. Or that coach that coached at South Dakota State is now at Xavier, but they make them play in the first or second round of the NCAA tournament. I think we're going to get a little bit of that here because of the way the seeding works out. Okay, so I've got outside of the 4, I've got Oregon as the 5th overall.
Yeah.
I've got Ole Miss as the 6th overall. I've got Oklahoma State as the 7th overall because they would be 11-2. I've got Tennessee as the 8 overall, Bama as the 9 overall. Let's see, I've got Memphis as my group of 5 and then Michigan as my 10. Look at these storylines.
Okay, so you don't have Alabama and Tennessee playing each other.
I don't have Alabama and Tennessee playing each other. I only had Tennessee seated higher than Alabama because they're both 10-2, 6-2 in the conference, and I've got Tennessee beating Alabama during the regular season in that head-to-head to get that higher seed. The team that got screwed out of this was Texas A&M. Because here's what it came down to me. It was Texas A&M and Penn State, all right, for that 11th seed. Not the 12th seed. I gave that to the group of 5. The only reason I gave it to Penn State, because Penn State was 10-2, right? Texas A&M was 10-2, is that Penn State would be 8-1 in the conference, and Texas A&M would be 6-2 in the SEC, and each Big Ten and SEC both have 4 representatives here.
Okay,
right?
So
you see what I'm saying?
So Penn State your 11 seed?
Penn State, yeah.
And that's not right there.
Yeah. Then
okay,
that's
so
not
Penn State your 11
seed. So basically, make a long story short, here's the matchups I have. All right, this is what I got right here. I've got Memphis versus Oregon is my 12-5 game. So Oregon would be hosting that. Remember, Oregon played Liberty last year as the group of 5 team. I think Memphis gets in over an undefeated Liberty because the committee remembers how bad Liberty got beaten last year. I think Memphis plays Oregon. I've got Oregon winning that game. All right, I've got, and playing who? Miami. Mm-hmm. So you would, look at that storyline. You'd have Mario Cristobal, now at Miami, coaching against his former team in Oregon. Then go to Oklahoma State, Bama. I got Bama going to Oklahoma State, but beating Oklahoma State to play who in the next round? Georgia, a rematch of the game in the regular season.
So you have Alabama going to Oklahoma State.
Yes, Alabama goes to Oklahoma State. I've got Penn State going to Ole Miss to play in round 1. I got Ole Miss winning that game, and then I've got Michigan going to Tennessee to play Michigan as Michigan going on the road to Knoxville. I've got Tennessee winning that game because I think Tennessee's offense, the way it's built, can take advantage a little bit of Michigan more than really anybody else can in that system. So I've got Oregon beating Miami. Dan Lanning beats Mario Cristobal, knocks Miami out. They advance to play Georgia, who I've got beating Alabama. Look at that. Dan Lanning versus Kirby Smart. Mm-hmm. Oregon versus Georgia. Look at that storyline. Then you go down. I've got Ole Miss beating Utah, and I've got Ohio State beating Tennessee. Unless I'm losing my mind, Ole Miss played Ohio State last year in a New Year's Six bowl game. Or was it Penn State?
No, it was Penn State.
It was one of the two. It was one of the two. So they played Penn State the first for that storyline.
Buckeyes played Missouri.
Then I've got Georgia beating Ohio State to win the national championship.
Okay, so my question is, can you bring that back up? So SMU, you have 11-1, right?
Yeah, 11-1 regular season, losing in the ACC championship.
Oh, so 11-2.
To Miami, so 11-2. And
their strength of schedule, so I'm fine with them being out. But Texas A&M, you have beating Notre Dame and Texas at the end of the year. I don't think A&M can be 10-2 with those wins and not get it.
So again, the only reason that was the hardest thing going back and forth is 8-1 in the Big Ten. How much more valuable is that than 6-2 in the SEC when both conferences have the same number of representatives in the playoff the way I have it built? That's why I did it. And then Michigan, I got Michigan beating Texas.
And I guess you don't have Texas or Notre Dame in here, so that weakens those wins just a little bit for A&M, even though I think those wins.
Yeah, and I think West Virginia has to do well because I think West Virginia is going to beat Penn State in the first week.
Oh, that's right, because you got them 10-2 as well. Okay, you got any questions over there?
God, how do you keep A&M out?
I just think they would do it. That's what I think they would do.
Did you get to a point with the team to where like you had to go like to the fourth or fifth rule to try to get them in?
Well, it's somewhat, but they're in different conferences and they don't play each other and they're not head to head. So again, I think the committee would say Penn State went 8-1 in the Big Ten. Texas A&M went 6-2 in the SEC. They both have equal overall records. We already have four SEC teams in and only three Big Ten teams in. We're going to put in Penn State. And it's not like you can sit here and say, oh, well, Penn State's not a big brand. Or if Penn State got a home game, I mean, comparing Penn State's home field advantage to Texas A&M's, I mean, it's not like there's a humongous difference. We see the whiteout all the time. So that was the hardest one for me. I got four Big Ten, four SEC, and then the storylines. Like these matchups, when I was going over this, just absolutely insane.
So you have four SEC teams, four Big Ten teams.
Yes.
No Notre Dame, but you have your Group of Five team, and then you have your ACC champ, but then you have two Big 12 teams getting in. You have Oklahoma State.
I have Oklahoma State because Oklahoma State would be 11-1 playing Utah, who would be 11-1. That I think only one of the ACC or Big 12 gets two teams in. I got the Big 12 getting two teams in here.
I like it. All right, bring mine up. Bring my 12-team playoff up. Let's break it down. Let's start at the beginning here. I have Georgia beating Alabama in the SEC championship, so that's my number one overall seed. I have the Buckeyes upsetting Oregon in the Big Ten championship to avenge that regular season loss, so they're the number two overall seed. I have Miami beating Florida State twice in the regular season and in the ACC championship, so that ends up being my three seed. And then Utah winning the Big 12, beating Kansas State, so they end up being my four seed. So those are the first round byes that we have. A little bit different seeding with Miami and Utah from yours there. Oregon, fifth seed, the only team I have in college football going undefeated in the regular season from the Power Four, but they lose to the Buckeyes in the conference championship, okay. So they're the fifth seed. Sixth seed, Notre Dame.
Yeah, there it is.
Starting 11-0, losing at USC, that rivalry game at the end of the year. Still good enough, though, to be the sixth seed. They'll be sitting at home during conference championship week, but they'll be sitting at 11-1, which gets me to the seventh seed. Alabama beating Georgia in the regular season, but losing that conference game, so they're the seventh seed. Eighth seed, Penn State. I have them going 11-1 in the regular season, but that loss to the Buckeyes keeps them out of the Big Ten championship. Nine seed, Ole Miss there. Okay, so that's a rematch of the Peach Bowl from last year that was so great. I actually have three bowl game rematches from last year. Oregon, Liberty, right there, my Group of Five team. And what I'm thinking on the Group of Five team, you're saying that the committee will learn their lesson from last year, getting the New Year Six automatic bid. Liberty goes and gets blown out. No, they don't learn their lesson ever. No, and Liberty, I think, will go undefeated. That game at App State is going to be the one to watch for there. 11 seed Texas, 10-2, they lose against Michigan. They lose against Georgia. They're sitting there outside the SEC championship, but good enough to get into the college football playoff to get that 11 seed. So play out my bracket here. Here's how the first 12-team playoff is going to play out. There we go.
Okay, all right, got
three bowl game rematches from last year. Like I said, Michigan, goes to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama. House divided.
You're in trouble.
Rematch of last year's Rose Bowl.
You're in
Guess
trouble.
What? Upset on the road. Michigan beats yeah. Alabama in Tuscaloosa. All right. Ole Miss, Penn State, rematch of last year's Peach Bowl, mm-hmm. like I said, in Happy Valley. Maybe a playoff wideout? Guess what? Upset on the road. Ole Miss advances to play Georgia. Rematch of last year's Fiesta Bowl, Liberty, Oregon. We're going out there to Eugene. Guess what? Not dead. Upset on the road.
Yeah,
Oregon
you
pounds
better not
them to
that.
Death to play Utah. And then Texas at Notre Dame in South Bend. The Irish have a 9-3 record all time against Texas. Guess what? Not this time. Texas upset on the road.
Go.
Goes and plays
okay.
Miami. And then here's how I have it. Michigan, Buckeyes, rematch. Oh, y'all thought I was going to let Ryan Day just get a win at the end of the year and not get a chance for revenge? Michigan, upset in the quarterfinals.
That would
you're
be
fired.
The worst. Ryan Day and them would be so excited they beat Michigan in the regular season, only to lose when it matters more.
I can't wait. Upset to go to the semifinal. Texas upsets number 3 Miami. Steve Sarkisian gets back to the semifinal again this year. Georgia beats Ole Miss in a rematch of that to go to the semifinal. Oregon beats Utah to go play Georgia. Just like you, Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, old protege, can't wait. Georgia beats Oregon to make the national championship, though. And just like I said, Michigan has an upset there against the Buckeyes from the regular season. Well, they get Texas again. Hard to beat a team twice. Texas Longhorns beat Michigan to go to the national championship where Georgia takes it all this year. That's how it's going to be.
Look, I don't have Notre Dame in mind. I know you guys are really high on Texas. I'm either going to be really right about Texas not making the playoff at 9-3 or really, really wrong. I will say the team I was thinking of that played Ole Miss, it was Missouri that played Ohio State
yes,
in the bowl
correct.
Game. Penn State played Ole Miss. Just these matchups, I'll go back to what I said before. When I was sitting down filling this out yesterday, just going through however you do it, these matchups are incredible. I mean, think about these home atmospheres. Right? I mean, you got Oregon playing at home. You got Penn State hosting Ole Miss. That'd be insane. Notre Dame hosting Texas. And then Bama hosting
Michigan. How great would this be?
Who put him out last year?
Oh.
This is...
Man.
So Michigan beats Alabama and Ohio State. David.
So wait, that would mean...
Do you
that
have
would
something
mean,
to say?
Why would you not
wait,
have
you
wait, beating
wait,
Texas?
Wait. Well, David, let me ask you
because
this.
Because that ain't how it's
going David, let me ask you this. So you have Georgia going 11-1.
In the regular season,
in the regular
yes.
season? Losing to who?
Alabama on the road in Tuscaloosa.
Losing to Alabama on the road. So if this happens, this may be the greatest... It could be the greatest year for wins of any team ever. Think about it. That means Georgia would have beaten Clemson. That means Georgia would have beaten Texas on the road. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss on the road. Ole Miss again. Oregon. Texas again. And winning in the SEC championship game against
Alabama.
Against Alabama.
So they lost.
That might be the greatest
yeah.
season ever.
Good. That may be the greatest.
Would you be surprised?
But not undefeated.
Not undefeated. That may be the greatest.
And then my first two out, Kansas State and Florida State. Like, I think Kansas State's going to be right there knocking at the door.
It's going to be magical. And blame...
It's over. It's over before it
hey,
even started.
You know what?
Guys.
It
does,
we got
started.
College football tomorrow. It doesn't matter.
Before it even started.
Who cares?
It always happens when I segue to ad reads.
You know what? It just
that's
brings
when
a new
it
life.
Happens. That's my that's
a
the soft
life.
Underbelly of me on Flaming Dragon side.
A new
right.
life.
It's about
there
time.
There it is.
It's been 8 years.
Like Winston Churchill's staring at me. I was gonna say, speaking of magical, let me tell you about Magic Mind. What is Magic Mind, Flaming Dragon ass?
You can say my name now, it doesn't matter.
No, what is it?
Magic in the mind.
No, ask me the question.
What is Magic Mind, Jake? You just said my name.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's a drink that consistently can get you to 100% mental performance.
Big facts.
Without any of the side effects caused by over-caffeination. We know caffeine's literally in everything these days. It took them 106 formulations to get it right. But finally, David, they managed to do it. The scientists cracked the code. It's incredible. Magic Mind is a mental performance shot. And in addition to your daily routine, it gets you focused, clear-headed, motivated, and productive while reducing stress. And you don't have to feel bad about it because it's not bad for you, right? Because, you know, coffee technically doesn't give you any energy. I mean, it's a placebo effect for me now. Caffeine blocks the adenosine neuroreceptors,
yeah.
which obviously you knew I knew that
Good
before
job.
I did this. This takes all that, makes you feel better. It's magic. It's Magic Mind, along with 12 other active ingredients. It helps support your body's energy engine and makes your coffee last all day. So go to magicmind.com/CraneAndCo and use our code CraneAndCo20 to get up to 48% off your first subscription for the next 10 days or 20% off a one-time purchase. That's magicmind.com/CraneAndCo20. ANDCO. Use that same promo code with 20 at the end of it, Crane and Code 20, to get that great deal. With Magic Mind, turn magic into reality. It's like Harry Potter for real, y'all. All right. Flaming Dragon. I'm still saying it.
Dragon!
I'm going to finish through
what
the line.
What a beautiful
code.
Friday. All right, I don't even want to use this graphic. Bring up the other one.
Yeah, let's go to your... Oh, you got Iowa in here?
Yeah, blah. All right, let's go. One seed, the Oregon Ducks. Congratulations. Two seed goes to Ole Miss, who wins the SEC. Three seed, Utah, who wins the Big 12. And four, Miami, who will win the ACC. Let's go through it. 12, Liberty, you play Ohio State. This season was fun. It's over now. All right, Alabama versus Tennessee. I have Tennessee winning this game in the regular season, but Alabama tags them back and they get revenge. Georgia versus Iowa, the christening begins. That'll be a 50-point game, baby.
The christening.
All right, there's a really interesting matchup here. Clemson versus Texas. Two kind of similar teams. I like Texas, but close. I think Texas wins this matchup. And then Ohio State versus Miami. This will be an absolute barn burner. I have Ohio State squeaking this one
over.
Out late. Alabama versus Oregon. I think Oregon's a more complete team than Alabama is right now. Really? Give me Oregon. Georgia versus Utah. Utah just does not have the cats to run with Georgia for four quarters up front on both sides of the ball. Ole Miss versus Texas. If I give you any advice, take the over in this game. When it happens, it'll be 55-48. I like Ole Miss. I think they score more. All right, I have Ole Miss beating Georgia in the SEC championship in the regular season. I think Georgia tags them back. I think Kirby gets the right adjustments in as good as he does. I think Georgia wins that. Ohio State, Oregon. Another playback of the Big Ten championship. Give me Ohio State getting revenge, a little tag back. Then after all this talk, we just end up back where we started. Ohio State versus Georgia.
Yeah.
Give me Ryan Day and the boys to finally do it in your face, Cone. Will Howard, Quinshon Judkins, and all 20 million of the players they bought with the $20 million that they have. Give me Ohio State to win
all
the
right,
national
so
championship.
All right, so we all have Georgia in the national championship game. Me and Cone have Georgia winning. You have Georgia losing to Ohio State. I have Georgia beating Ohio State in the playoff. All right, quickly before we get to the chat, the phone line is going to open here in 21 minutes, 1-855-236-3228. We want to hear from you. David, who wins the Heisman?
Carson Beck.
That's who I got, Carson Beck.
Undefeated championship season.
Flaming, who do you got?
Give me Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel from Oregon wins it. All right. Let's get to the chat. I want to hear what...
All right, chat, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you donate, it's on topic. You can bet your bottom dollar it will get red. Let's go to Northern Lights. It says, hey, guys, love the show. David, totally take your Michigan glasses off. They're definitely not beating Bama and... Who was their second team?
Ohio State.
Ohio State, yeah, not Miami.
I don't have anything to do with the program. They don't pay me any money, and that's just how I see it going.
Yeah, we totally agree.
If I was biased, I would have had them winning the conference if I didn't.
What did Vicky Valancourt say? You know, if you were, like, overtly biased, why would you make these picks and then not have them winning the national championship?
Or winning the conference, for God's sake.
But so for mine, the only thing, like, pull mine back up, Justine. Pull mine back up real quick. The only thing that was wrong about mine is the seeding. Oh, it's fixed now. Okay. Yeah, it is. It was the seeding between Michigan and Tennessee. But, like, Dave, think about this. All right? Of course, Oregon hosting Memphis. That'll be crazy there. Oklahoma State hosts Bama. How cool is that? Oklahoma State has never sold out like this before a season, ever, in the history of their football program. Imagine them hosting Bama. You know, you can put up the We Want Bama signs. Deep down, you truly don't. I have Bama winning that game. Then Penn State goes to Oxford? I mean, come on.
The Michigan-Tennessee matchup will be wild.
Michigan-Tennessee would be in Knoxville?
The cool thing about it, and the truth about it, is there is no combination that would be disappointing.
That is true.
Think about it. And that's one of the best aspects of this 12-team playoff is we get to see home games one and done. Because even for the ones that are in conference, right, either it's a rematch of what we've already seen, but now it's one and done and the stakes are even higher, or we didn't get to see that matchup in the regular season this year in that conference. And for the out-of-conference ones, hey, it's like either, again, it's a rematch. Like, we could have a Michigan-Texas rematch, but again, the stakes are higher being the playoff, or it's something that we'll never get to see, right? Clemson goes to Kansas State, right?
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
I mean, think about this draw for Tennessee, too. You'd have to beat Michigan, and then if you beat Michigan, hey, congrats, you get to play Ohio State. You're basically having to win the Big Ten. It's just wild. All right, let's get to the chat.
All right, Turkey Slammer says, y'all don't have Tennessee winning this whole thing, then this list is crap. Just kidding, but does Tennessee have the roster to do it all?
I don't think Tennessee has the roster to win the whole thing. I think Nico's good enough to get them where I have them going, right? Which is, I think, further than a lot of people have them going. When I look at the way this Tennessee team's put together, the defense I trust, I think, a little more than some other people do. But I think Josh Heupel's been building these rosters and stacking these rosters to be able to have the depth to be able to run the offense the way he wants to run it, right? And also have the depth on the defense to not, you know, have to turn everything to a track meet because your guys are gassed. You look at James Pierce. You look at some of the pieces they have on defense. I think Tennessee is a really good team. I don't think they're an elite team yet. But, I mean, they bring back Brew McCoy coming back at wide receiver with Squirrel White. You know the run game's going to be good, and I love the system. Just not this year, but that'd be a hell of a year. I think Tennessee fans, the smart ones, would take it right now.
All right, let's go to Movie Man 7. My prediction, Utah and K-State will play Big 12 championship. If Utah wins, they will be the only team from the Big 12 to get in the
playoff. What I have, too.
I mean, going through it, it's funny, Dave. You know, we had our friend J.D. Pickell on here, a lot of people on, saying, you know, I got five SEC teams and Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's going to be difficult. But, like, since I didn't have Notre Dame, it opened up another slot, but not for the Big 12 or the ACC. Like, the Big 12 got Oklahoma State in there because of what Oklahoma State, you know, where they're going to start and what I think they're going to do during the regular season with their only loss coming to Kansas State on the road, but beating Utah. During the regular season, being 11-1, playing Utah, who I have being 11-1 with their only loss on the road to Oklahoma State. I just don't think you're going to get two apiece from each of those conferences.
The max number is 9, right? And then yeah. You'd get the ACC champ, the Big 12 champ, and the Group of 5 team. I don't think we're going to get to 9. And that's even if you take Notre Dame out, which I had Notre Dame in mind and still had the same number of combo for SEC Big 10 as you did. But I didn't get that second.
Well, like, I want to know in the chat, too. Like, so this scenario again, like, what do y'all... Who do y'all think the committee would take? Like, it's, and I have it drawn out. I sat here and just went back and forth. And David, I called you, talked to you guys about it after. Like, you're sitting there and the committee's like, all right, the SEC's got Georgia in. All right, they've got Ole Miss in. We got to put Tennessee in. Got to put Bama in, right? Because of their schedule and the way it works out in the end. But you're sitting there wondering, all right, Penn State's 10-2, Michigan is 10-2. Texas A&M is 10-2. The Big Ten only has 3 teams in. Penn State's 8-1 in conference. A&M is 6-2 in their conference, but A&M has better out-of-conference wins than Penn State.
That's a tough one because I think the playoff committee will do everything they can, if it's feasible, to make an even number of SEC teams and Big Ten teams in, especially in this first year, so they can try and not play favorites between the two biggest conferences who are going to make the most money in the college football playoff split. Having said that, in that scenario, I think Texas A&M would deserve to go. Now, I have Penn State 11-1. At that point, it's not a question.
Well, the difference between me and you is West Virginia.
You have them losing to West Virginia. And because that would happen early in the season, they would already sort of fall in the ranks. And I just think Texas A&M would get that win over Notre Dame Week 1 and then close with Texas and they'd get the
Gotcha.
All right, let's go to Joey Halfman. What's up, Joey? He says, I got a feeling the champion will come outside of the top 4.
Top 4.
That'd be fun.
Look, it's a tournament. It's an elongated tournament. It's not like, all right, you got to win 2 games. It's like, well, all right, you're going to have to win 3, right? I mean, you're going to have to win at least 3.
If that happens, do you think more college football purists, which we are, we are, do you think more of them would get on board with the 12-team playoff?
Yes, but I think it depends how it happens because, I mean, if you let's run that ground ball out for a second. Let's say Georgia goes 12-0 in the regular season. They're the number one team the whole season. Like, they look like the number one team the whole year. They play 11-1 Ole Miss because Ole Miss would have to lose to Georgia if Georgia went 12-0, and Ole Miss beats them by 1 point, like in a last-second Hail Mary. Georgia's been the best team all year. Mm-hmm. They lose to the second-best team in the SEC on a Hail Mary. They're not in the Final Four. They're the 5th seed, right? But we know they're the best team. They're going to play the 12 seed, mm-hmm. beat them to death. Then they're going to get to play the 4 seed, right? Who would be the weakest out of whoever conference. So it's probably going to be an ACC or a Big 12 team, beat them to death. So if it's a team that's like Tennessee in my scenario where you're 10-2, 6-2 in the league or 7-1 in the league and you haven't been number one all year and you've stayed between 5-7 or 5-10, I think that would be a little bit. But there's no chance like Memphis is going to win it.
Okay, so that's a really good point. And this is the last thing I'll say on it. I don't want to get to a position where people are crying about both things. The first one is, oh, if we're going to have a national champ, if we're going to say at the end of the year, this team was the national champ, but then complain that it was all the writers voting on it and we don't have a legitimate tournament to decide who that is, you can't complain about that. But then also say, once we get a tournament style, that, oh, well, a 8 seed fluked up and beat the team who was the best all season. That's not fair. We either get a tournament style and let it play out, or we don't get that and we get to just vote on it at the end.
Well, what is a better form of meritocracy than just letting them play it on the field? That's why anybody that says this isn't meritocracy to me, it absolutely blows my mind. What do you mean they're playing it? This is the best way to do it. You're playing it on the field.
And honestly, that kind of happened last year.
Yeah, and the argument will be over. The group of five teams shouldn't have been in there because it'll be like, all right, Texas A&M would have beat Memphis. Yeah, well, yeah. And then the same people that said, oh, we can't put Florida State in there because their quarterback got hurt and they're not one of the best teams. Like, you can't be on the other side of that and say, well, we have to put Memphis in there, even though they're not one of the best teams. It's just, I like that they did that, but I think it creates problems.
Let's go to T. Smith. He says, don't see Oklahoma State getting in as a two-loss non-champ. The only way the Big 12 gets two is if one team runs the table but loses to a one-loss team in CCD.
So that was another thing that that went through my mind. But the reason I did that is because I don't think there was a second team in the ACC that had the possibility of being in there. I had Oklahoma State beating Utah, going 11-1 during the regular season, losing at Kansas State, who I also have having a pretty good year, but not making the conference championship game. I don't think they would reward Kansas State over Oklahoma State, even though Kansas State would have won heads up because Kansas State didn't play in the conference championship game. I just think they're going to look and say, we have to take two from at least one of the Big 12 in the ACC. I think they're going to do that. And when it works out the way that I have it working out in the ACC, they're going to take an 11-2 Oklahoma State over an 11-2 SMU every day of the week, especially when you compare schedules and look at what SMU would have had to play compared to who. The Utah win alone puts Oklahoma State over SMU the way I have it if both were 11-2. So,
well, the scenario he's talking about played out a couple years ago with TCU and with Kansas State. Mm-hmm. So Kansas State upset the undefeated TCU. In that scenario, it would have been interesting because Kansas State would have gotten the first round bye.
Yep. All right. Well, very excited to bring in a guy we haven't got to talk to in a long time. He's looking very debonair, as he usually does. Looks like he's about demure, is that what you said?
Demure, Danny.
I don't even know what that means. You can find him, Dusty and Danny in the Morning, Cover 3 Pod. I mean, CBS Sports HQ, protecting the city at night while everybody else is asleep from a rooftop far away. Our buddy Danny Cannell. DK, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas? You know, I was just trying to furiously. I was taking some notes there on some of the stuff you guys were making, your picks, filling out brackets. I'm just trying to get educated here with you guys. What's going on?
Man, the receipts are already being kept. I picked SMU to go 11-1 and play in the ACC championship game. And you would have thought I tried to kidnap the president's kid. Like, I think it's a logical thing that could happen. Let him at least just go 10-2. But what did you think, man? Did anything? Do you like, I got Georgia winning it, but I don't have Notre Dame in my playoff, Danny.
I don't have them in mine either. I'm assuming 11-1 is SMU's lone loss then would be to Florida State at home in their first ACC conference game.
You
have them beat.
No, it's the week after at Louisville on that
sugar high. A letdown game.
Yeah.
A letdown game.
On that sugar high.
So Notre Dame is really interesting. I think this is going to be so much fun this year. I've been hoping we get this expanded playoff, and there's some things that concern me a little bit about it. There's a chance for some rematches. There's a chance for some three matches, right, where we potentially could see teams square off three times. I won't think we'll be bothered by that because they'll be incredible matchups. But Notre Dame is a really interesting case study because they play essentially a three-game schedule, and I'm curious to know if that's why you left them out too. They're a 3-point underdog in Texas at Kyle Field in College Station that first week. They play Florida State at home as a favorite. And then they have, in the last game, the third game I'm counting is at USC, the last game of the year. And that might be a good game. It might be a good win. So, like, if they go 12-0, they're in. If they go 11-1, I think they're in. But I have them going 10-2.
Yeah.
Oh, you got them out at 10? You got them keeping them out at 10-2.
That's interesting.
Yes, and here's why.
Yeah.
You have to start asking the question, like, what's the good win? Like, if they lose two out of three of those matchups, like, if they only beat, let's say they beat Texas A&M in week one, Like, what happens to A&M then? Like, is A&M a 8-4 SEC, 7-5 SEC team? Is that a great win? And then they lose at home to Florida State and would lose on the road to USC. Like, those are bad losses. Like, so, like, if they're today, I think they have to be 11-1 to have two good wins on their schedule.
I do wonder, Danny, let me ask you, if Notre Dame lost, say they go 10-2 and they lose A&M and they lose USC, but they beat Florida State, and Florida State ends up being a 9-win team or better, do you think they get in with that 10-2 because it's Notre Dame?
Yeah, well, see, that's what you said right there, Jake, is what makes me like worried about this.
I think
the benefit
they would take
of the brand.
Oh,
right?
Boy already said he's like ticket sales, home environment, and basically like who's the big dogs at the table. I got Notre Dame 9-3, DK, but listen to my three losses. At A&M, I got them beating Florida State at home and going 9-3. I got them losing at A&M. I got them losing at USC, and I got them slipping up at Georgia Tech.
Ooh. I think I could absolutely see that. Like, why not? Like, we've seen crazier things happen. Or what if they lost to Louisville? Like,
I was going to say Louisville
for an ACC championship.
Exactly.
For sure.
They lost to them last year.
Better. I think they'll be better this year. Even though they did lose Lacey, I think he's out like 6 weeks or something. I saw that the wide receiver they're expecting a lot of. Danny, I do want to ask you this because in my playoff, the way it works out, I firmly believe in the theory when it comes to March Madness, they are trying to set up these games for storylines as much as possible. So if they can possibly set up a storyline, they'll do it. And on my playoff, I've got Oregon ended up playing Miami. You look at some of these matchups. Do you believe that the committee, if there's a chance to do some of these storylines of a used to coach here or you played here, and then you think they kind of edge toward that and they make that pick based on that?
So it was interesting. I was doing a little exercise this morning. We did our brackets, picked our 12. And the way it's supposed to work is you just rank them, strength of schedule, eye test, you know, all those, you know, conference champions, all that, and the four will get the bye. And you just put them 1-12, and then you plant them in the bracket, and it just spits it out. You're supposed to respect the bracket, right? That's the mandate the committee has been given. I was worried about rematches. Like, are they going to be allowed to avoid rematches? To your question, like, do they try to set up good storylines? Mm-hmm. I think they do. I think they're human. I think maybe it's not even like in any nefarious way. I think there's a lot of people in there that love college football that could sit there just like we are and be like, this would be a great matchup. Let's maybe look, and then you throw them back in and you re-vote, right? And so all you have to do is make a tweak or two there. I did it in my own poll. My own ranking, because I had a little cluster of teams and it would potentially had, you know, three matches. Like we talked playing each other three times. All I had to do was bump it one seed off and flip flop. And then all of a sudden I got way better matchups. I absolutely think they would do the thing. And I actually am totally okay with it. Like I'm fine with it too. If they want to have great storylines and they want to sell certain things, because if they're thinking what are good matchups and what are the fans going to like, which I do think this is supposed to be a part of an entertainment that we're being sold, then I'm actually okay with it.
I'm with it 100%.
This is directly from the College Football Playoff website. It says, and this is like 0.6 of 10 or something like that, the College Football Playoff bracket will follow the selection committee's ranking with no modifications made to avoid rematches between teams that have played during the regular season or are from the same conference. I think they put that on there just to cover their bases, but I agree with you guys. Like, they're human beings who want to see the best matchups possible, as long as it's within reason.
Within reason,
right?
Yes.
Danny, can you go ahead and tell us what the 12 teams are you have in the playoff right now?
Okay, off the top of my head, I'll try to do it.
Yeah, I'll be so impressed if you...
You can do it, Danny, I believe.
So, first seed, I had Ohio State. Okay. Second, I had Georgia. Third, I had Florida State. Fourth, I had Utah.
Okay.
Fifth, I had Oregon. Six, I had loser
Auburn.
Of SEC.
Okay,
I had,
Auburn.
No, right. Texas.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Auburn.
You have Texas losing the SEC championship.
Six.
Okay.
Seven, I had Penn State. Eight, I had Ole Miss. Nine, I had Miami.
Okay.
10, I had Texas A&M. That's my, like, that was my long shot dark
horse.
Dude,
do you have A&M going 10-2?
I do.
Yeah. 10-2, Danny.
I'm going 10-2, and I think it's good enough to get in.
They want to put me next to the Joker and Lady Gaga for picking that. I'm like, look at this schedule.
Yeah. Like,
but you still have 11? Texas winning the SEC.
No, I had them second. Georgia wins the SEC, and that could be a potential, you know, if they play each other three times.
Gotcha.
11, I had, did I say Clemson yet? Because I have
not
three
ACC. Not yet.
I'm okay. An ACC guy.
Three ACC.
You got to represent
the conference of
quarterbacks, as they're calling it down there.
So you had Florida State, Clemson, Miami. Okay.
So I had Florida State, Miami, and Clemson all in. And they actually could, if they all had incredible seasons, they all could be 11-1. You know, they don't all play each other. There could be a scenario. I know it's a long shot, but I had to do it. And then my my group of five team was App State.
Okay.
Which I don't know. I'm kind of affinity. I like their stadium and Boone. They bring back their quarterback Joey Aguilar. I like Sean Clark, their head coach. That one probably. I'll tell you this, fellas. The group of five better enjoy the opportunity to play for it, because I only think it lasts 2 years.
Well, really here's Danny. Here's something else. I said I got Memphis at 11 or at 12-1 in that spot. I think Liberty goes undefeated. But I think they look at what happened against Oregon last year. And I've got Oregon as the 5 seed. So they would end up playing the 12. I think they'd put a 12-1 Memphis over an undefeated Liberty, because Liberty's schedule is so bad again. And they got their pants pulled down in front of everybody at the high school last year.
If they go undefeated, they're going to have to be App State on the road. So App State's going to get Liberty, and they're going to get Clemson.
Yeah, man.
So that's the one. I'm glad you brought that up, because App State, they did not play a Power 5 team last year. They don't play a Power 4 team this year. Memphis plays Florida State. App State plays Clemson. There's another one. Boise State, I think, plays one of the Power Four. Like
Oregon.
If you don't win that game, if you, first of all, willing to schedule them, but like if you look the part, I think that actually should help your resume. And I totally agree with you guys. I think Liberty's that game against Oregon last year, the committee will remember that and probably hold it against them.
I think they've already forgotten. But as someone with firsthand experience, I don't like talking about Appalachian State upside.
Let's talk about it, Dave.
But I did want to ask
Monty one more thing. Edwards is actually a guest next week.
Now that I know a little bit where you stand on Miami, you know, that's what I wanted to ask you. Miami's never won the ACC. A lot of hype right now. I mean, Cam Ward's going to be as good as it gets at the quarterback position. You don't have him winning the conference, but is Miami for real this year? Can Mario Cristobal get over that hump?
I think so. I am very bullish on Miami. I've got Florida State, Miami playing in the ACC championship game in a rematch. I have Florida State losing in Miami in that first one, and then Florida State exacting some revenge. This is the most talented roster that Miami has had since they've been in the ACC. When we're talking 15 plus years, this is the most talent they've had accumulated together. Don't forget, Damian Martinez comes in from Oregon State. He's one of the better running backs in the country. They've got offensive line talent. They've got defensive depth. They are absolute built to win. Now, the question mark is, can Mario bring it all together? And I do think that Cam Ward, so to full disclosure, like when everyone was after Cam Ward, I was hoping Florida State got him. I was like, man, and I know Florida State wanted him. They got outbid by Miami to go get him. And DJU was somewhat of a consolation prize as sort of the next man up on the market. But Cam Ward is a dynamic playmaker. When he was in back at Incarnate Word, he had a year he threw 47 touchdown passes.
Yeah, that's insane.
You know, and then he goes to Washington State, where there's not that much talent around him, still pulls off some big games and some big upsets. Now he's surrounded with his talent. I actually have him, if you want to take somebody in the Heisman Trophy, we're a little bit better odds. Like, I'm going Dylan Gabriel for the Heisman, a little bit chalky, I know. But I think Cam Ward, some really good value for the Heisman. Because think about it, if he does play well, there's going to be the storyline of putting Miami back on the map. Yeah. And I think that's going to get him a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to play, you know, spectacular. And he puts up a lot of electric plays, those Heisman moments as well when he's on the field. So, yeah, to answer your question, David, I'm pretty bullish on Miami.
Gotcha.
All right, Danny, let's get to the chat. We're going to start it off with the Seminole Man. What's up? He says, tomorrow, Danny, what do you think the outcome's going to be? I want to trust DJU, but I just don't think he is good enough.
Blaine, I don't think it matters tomorrow. You know, this is a game where I think DJU, I think this is one of the reasons they brought him in. I think there's a floor with DJU Uiagalelei at quarterback for Florida State. Like, he has a ton of talent around him. There's a veteran-laden offensive line where the average age, I think, is 23, and they've all played multiple years. There's a ton of depth. He's got a really strong run game with Roydell Williams coming in from Bama, Lawrence Toafili coming back. The defense is stout, so, like, they should be able to get their stops. So I think DJU can have a pretty workmanlike or game manager type of game against Georgia Tech. So I feel pretty good about the Noles, even laying the 10.5. I like the under in the game itself because I think it could be a little bit sloppy early. Field surface is always a little bit slippery. I think the defenses are always a little bit out ahead. But I think what determines, like, if Florida State is good, I think if DJ is just good. If they're great, I do think DJ has to be great. And that is a question that I don't know the answer to yet. And I need to see it because we haven't seen it throughout his career. We've seen flashes of it. Like, remember his first start in South Bend, he goes out there and that's where the expectations were off the charts because of what he put on display when he was filling in for Trevor Lawrence. I think Mike Norvell is a very, he's probably an underrated play caller with the schemes that he builds that really fit his different quarterback skill set. So I'm really curious to see because I do think Mike Norvell will put DJU in a lot of positions to succeed, and it's going to be up to him to see if he can hit some of those bigger plays and come through in those plays when nothing is there. That's what separates good quarterbacks from great ones, or those great ones that can improvise, that can make the big play on third down and long when you have to have it, or it's a red zone play and you have to, you know, get a touchdown as opposed to a field goal. And those, I don't know about DJ, honestly.
Danny, I want to ask you before we let you go, Danny Cannell, you can find him basically everywhere. Obviously, a lot of eyes are going to be on Florida State and Georgia Tech. We've been breaking down the game. We got our bets we do at the end of the show that we're going to talk about as well. But there's another game in the Sunshine State, week one, that's going to be getting most of the buzz. And it's two teams that aren't exactly your favorite, and that is Miami and Florida. Now, I got Florida. I think Florida's going to win this game. I actually got Miami losing this and running the table the rest of the way. When you look at this matchup, I mean, what do you think right now about a week out?
By the way, I don't hate Florida's win total. I think is it 4.5 still? I know
yeah.
the
yeah.
is pretty steep.
And I got them 7-5.
I think they're pretty good. By the way, have you heard their guy's schedule is really hard? Like, oh my gosh, if I hear it one more time about all these SEC schools, man, come on. Like, we get it. It's football. Everybody has hard schedules, and there are some cakewalks in there too. That's why we're both picking Texas A&M. And go check out Missouri's schedule as well. It's a cakewalk as well. Anyway, just had to get that little rant off my chest.
No, good, please.
I cannot wait for this game. This is probably my most intriguing game of week one. And there's some great matchups. But because of the coaches and what's at stake for them, the programs and what's at stake for the programs who are desperate to kind of have a feel-good type of start to a season, I cannot wait to see it. And I wouldn't be surprised either if Florida did pull it off. I'll go with Miami just because I'm a little bit more bullish on them. But Graham Mertz is a pretty steady, you know, quarterback who's going to be just fine under this stage. It's really Cam Ward's first big moment. But Florida's got some depth, and I do think they'll exceed the very, very low expectations that have been set for them this year. I don't. What's going to be even more fascinating is, let's say they get to a bowl, or let's say if they're 6-6, does that save Billy Napier's job?
We played what's the number? We played what's the number? Like, what is it? And a lot of the Florida fans were like, well, it's not just the number; it's, you know, who is in the number, right? If it's going to be 6-6, it needs to be the right 6 because you're playing the state of Florida. I mean, you got UCF, you got Florida State, you got Miami. I just hope the money keeps coming in on Miami because they're a 2.5-point favorite. I just need that to get up to 3.5 so I can buy that Florida.
I don't know if it will. I just want to make one more point to piggyback. It has to feel good for you, Danny, to know that what makes Florida's schedule so tough this year are the bookends of the ACC teams. I mean, opening with in-state Miami, closing with Florida State, and then adding, really, Central Florida in the middle of that schedule is what puts it over the top that we've talked about it every week for a year. If it were just how tough their SEC schedule is, there are 3 or 4 other SEC teams that have that tough of a schedule.
Very true.
No doubt. I can't wait to see what happens with the Gators this year. The best part about it is I just kick back and watch them stress out over it. And I can say, you know what? We got our coach. You know, we've got our program feeling pretty good right now. And just watch them stress out about it. It'll be a ton of fun.
Danny Cannell, one of the best in the business. You're as busy as we are this time of year, brother. Tell everybody where they can find your great work. And I'm sure we're going to link up at some point in the season.
You guys are awesome, man. Enjoy the games this weekend. It's going to be fun. It's a perfect little appetizer, right? Just 4 games, you know, keep you entertained. I'm sure you guys will all be dialed into Delaware State, Hawaii at midnight.
Hawaii TTP, I'm big on it.
Delaware missed a flight.
Finally got the flight there.
Hey, I'm down with TTP. Yeah, you know me. Danny Cannell, to check him out. Appreciate it, DK.
See you guys.
All right. Our good friend Danny Cannell does an incredible job. Knows how to get the people going. All right. You know, we got people on the lines, 1-855-236-3228. Going to get there in 1 second, but first, we know some of you guys are tailgating this weekend. We know for sure most of you guys are tailgating next weekend, but it doesn't matter how you get down. If you're going to drink and drink responsibly, you need to drink Z-Biotics before you drink and you don't feel as bad the next day. I already told you about Magic Mind, all right? This is magic just in a different form. It's a pre-alcohol. It's an engineered probiotic invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I know a lot of y'all getting that engine revved up. So you need to make sure you drink your Z-Biotics before you go drink. Vacation, weddings, birthdays, tailgates, reunions. All right, there's so much going on, but get the most out of it. Get your pre-alcohol now. And if you go to ZBiotics.com/booster, you get 15% off your first order when you use code BOOSTER at checkout. It's backed with 100% money-back guarantee. You won't be unsatisfied, but if you are, they'll refund your money. Remember, head to ZBiotics.com/booster. Use the code BOOSTER at checkout for 15% off. If you go use this, you will never not use it. Just trust me on this one. I know some of y'all drink other, you know, stuff that rhymes with Schmedia Light and things like that. This is better than that. Be smart. Work smarter, not harder. Z-Biotics. Thank you for sponsoring this episode and our good time. I'm going to be drinking me some Z-Biotics.
Be a hero, be.
I just got a brand new 12-pack delivered yesterday to the house.
12-pack?
Get ready for the birthday party this weekend.
I get 24 packs on the daily.
No, of Z-Biotic.
That's what I'm saying.
I drank three since we sat down. All right, what do we got over there, David?
We got Sean on the line from Baton Rouge.
Sean.
I wonder if he wants to talk about LSU.
Sean. Sean.
Maybe he's a random, like, Baton Rouge inhabitant.
Yeah, he's a Rutgers State fan.
I don't know.
He's a Rutgers fan.
We get people like, hey, I'm calling in from Ohio. I'm a Fresno State fan.
Sean, you big Rutgers guy or what?
Boy, I'm loyal to the soil.
There you go.
I love that.
Hey, don't come in. Come in talking your ish. That's how you come in and start a call, Sean.
Look, the band not being allowed to play Neck is an infringement on our First Amendment right to free speech. So let's just get that out of the way.
How can y'all not play Neck and Penn State can play Mo Bamba? It sickens me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So here's the thing. You guys haven't announced it yet, but 2 weeks ago, I remember Jake saying, you know, well, we're not going to say what game we're live streaming, but get on the bus. I know what that means. You're getting on the nuts bus. You're going to watch the LSU-USC game.
Mm.
You guys live streamed two of LSU's games last year. We lost both. I'm asking you to reconsider. Is that possible?
Well, now we may live stream every game LSU does this year.
See, now
you made it worse. Like, this is the worst thing you could have done, Sean.
Now they're seeing if Auburn plays LSU.
Yeah, there's a really good chance that LSU-USC games will get live streamed. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm betting on you guys.
Look, y'all lose to USC.
Y'all go
that's
out there
not
and
on
lose.
Us. That's not on us.
That's on y'all.
You're absolutely correct. It's not on you. It's not a curse. It's nothing silly like that. I just like to put the odds in my favor if I can. Because
I mean, I don't hate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
Well, it's like new quarterback, new offensive coordinator, new defensive everything. I'd prefer to get the odds in our favor, but honestly, if I'm being real, I think we lose that game. I mean,
really?
There's so much gelling that needs to get done throughout the season. I don't love their chances on night one. That's just me. But I do think they get revenge and they beat Alabama later in the year. So I think that'll make up for it.
Sean, you are the only LSU fan that I've heard think y'all are going to lose
Same.
To USC. You're the only one. We got to
Yeah, no, I agree.
So what's their record then, Sean? What's LSU's record this year?
10-2.
Okay, so you got them losing.
Damn.
Southern Cal, and what's the other one if they're beating Bama?
Ole Miss.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
See, Ole Miss is an interesting one because that'll be Ole Miss's seventh straight game, but LSU gets a bye week before that game. So
I know.
Could go either way.
That gave me that's one of the reasons why I have Ole Miss, their only loss being to LSU.
I love that. I went to the game in Oxford last year. That was rough. I was really hoping that Matt House wouldn't make it back on the bus, but unfortunately he did for the rest of the way.
Yeah.
LSU's going to be a very intriguing team this year.
We'll see. I think that LSU spread went down to 4.5 yesterday. It was at 6.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the over-under?
Y'all keep putting money on Miami and Florida. I need that up to that 3.5. Need to get on that. Bah.
Appreciate it, Sean.
Right, go, boys, Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Hey.
All right, let's go to Hayden in Illinois. Hayden, what's up?
Oh, here we go. How are you feeling?
Isn't it funny we had Danny Cannell on and Florida State didn't make the playoffs in any of our brackets?
Yeah.
Literally any of our brackets.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that.
So, yeah.
It's a good 9-3 year.
If you picked my, 9-3? Okay. Mm-hmm. Raise your hand if you picked Miami to win the ACC. Okay, I'm not watching. I assume
we all did.
A couple of you guys have your.
We
hands.
All did. Oh, yeah, I didn't know. I was at a debate.
Up, you eat booger. So,
hey, Danny Cannell's bullish on him. Now.
Danny Cannell's bullish.
He's bullish on him.
You calling Danny Cannell?
You got three ACC teams in there.
Danny K is the one thread of hope I have in the show today on this fine Flaming Dragon Friday.
I already blew
alliteration. So I have some lines for you guys.
Okay.
Florida State.
Hey, no. Hey, yard, we moved on from that line.
Total yards allowed on defense. Florida State. Total yards allowed. 250.
Over.
Over.
Okay.
Over.
This
total
weekend?
Yards on offense. Mm-hmm. Yes, tomorrow.
For Florida State, there. Right? For Florida State.
Yeah, on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Total allowed.
Yeah.
250.
Okay, I like that over in that.
All right, offense, Florida State, 250, over, under.
Over.
I like that over. I like the other under.
Of those 250, 200 being rushing yards, Florida State, over, under.
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 It could be, Florida State could go for 450 yards and run for 300 yards and DJU throw for 150. I'm going to go over.
Yeah.
Because it just has to be at least 250 yards, right?
Correct.
Okay. I'll go over.
Okay. Huge. Last line. Marvin Jones Jr. combined with Pat Payton over under 2.5 sacks.
Give me the over.
Over.
Haynes King's going to be running.
Mm.
He's going to be running that whole game.
I say Marvin has two.
Almost one.
I say Marvin has two and two and a half tackles for loss. I say Hayden gets a half sack and two tackles for loss.
Can't wait.
I am Hayden. I am suiting up.
And yes, I am a robot.
Thank you, Hayden.
How did they see
college
me?
College football, baby.
Let's go. Yes. Let's go.
Congrats, yes. You guys.
Love it.
Hey, we made it.
I'll call
you're not going to be able to raise your voice like that. When
call in Monday, brother. Go Noles.
I looked up in the tree, and it was King of the Jungle, man.
All right. Now we got Thick Saban on the line, and that's
Thick Saban.
And that's T-H-I-C-C. Thick Saban.
Super
in Hotlanta.
Oh.
Thick Saban. What's going on?
Thick Saban.
David, Jake, take a load off. I got one person I want to talk to. One person.
Is this? This is Marler.
Call him a person.
This is Marler. Hey, listen.
Good.
Hey, listen. Hey, Chris. I'm gonna do this.
Chris, let's go, please.
Chris, let me set you up.
I don't even know what this is about.
Hold on, Chris. Do you want some motivational music in the background while you?
He doesn't deserve that.
I want you to put on Dixieland Delight right now.
Put on the motivational music when you hear it, Chris. Please begin.
Get after him, Coach Saban.
Here we go. Hold on. Yeah. Get him.
Okay, Blaine, first off, I knew the answer before I even asked the question to Jake yesterday, but are you the little brother of the family? Absolutely. And you can tell with your attitude online and your piss-poor Twitter performance yesterday, 2 days from the season, and we're talking about bad calls from refs like a damn baby?
Yeah.
Complaining about Iron Bowl losses? Let me tell you something right now. What I love to do, two things I love to do, yell at people in traffic, hate on ISIS and people that yell yellow starburst, and also talk about facts when it comes to college football. Did you know that the team you were talking about, and I know you were talking about them because you're always talking
Whoa,
about them.
Whoa, that's an assumption, but continue.
The team that has been the second most or the most penalized team in the SEC in four of the past five seasons, Alabama. Did you also know that in three of the past four times, Bama's gone to Jordan-Hare Stadium or Jordan-Hare Stadium, as my grandpa and Diddy would call it? Okay, they've had a season high in penalties and or penalty yards. Let me tell you something right now. I'm at an Airbnb in Fort Lauderdale right now.
And it's
real nice. I don't mean to brag or flex on you, but I will tell you, I don't want to get a noise complaint, but the heart rate is up, the blood pressure's up, and I'll tell you what's going to be down this year. That's Hugh Freeze and the Auburn Tigers, brother.
Okay, a couple
this
things here.
Early.
Couple things here. All right, first of all right, The amount of Alabama fans that got ass hurt from this tweet blows my mind.
What did the tweet say?
The tweet just said, what team has been helped most by the refs?
Oh.
And y'all femboys, y'all just soft asses just came all the way down off your mountain to come complain about it. I didn't have a thought of y'all in my head when I made that tweet. But now I do. This is how guilty y'all are that you have to call in and leave 300 comments on Twitter to prove that you're not guilty.
Hey, you know what's funny, though? Hey, you know what I do find funny about this? Is that when... Chris, some of the Bama fans are like, hey, Alabama is the most penalized team in the SEC over the last 4 years, which is two reasons why it's funny. One, it admits y'all are doing a lot of damn penalties. Imagine the ones they're not calling. But two, that is the craziest thing to like be like, gotcha. Yeah. That's like being like, oh, your son, that's like your son went to prison for theft? Ha ha, mine just murdered a bus full of old people.
I'm so mad about that. I'm not even about y'all.
That's fantastic.
Great call, dude.
When you put it that way, it does feel like I might have set myself up. But regardless, I think it's good to talk to two of the three of you, as always.
I've just seen a little bit
annoyed you guys haven't had me on now that you're not.
Yo, Chris, I was gonna ask. Hey, you wanna come on next week?
Yeah, you guys do it in the afternoon. I'm awake.
Good, perfect. Well, you know we love you, brother. Hey, congrats on all the new games too, man.
Hey, Chris, what's Alabama's record? Before you go, what's their record? What do they end at?
Oh yeah.
Here's the thing. I mean, probably 9-3, but if it weren't for the penalties, probably 7-5.
Yeah.
All right, 3.
Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Jake in Huntsville. Jake, what's going on?
Not much. I need to respond to the first caller. It's going to be great to see those Tiger tears falling and DeBoer and Jalen Milroe roll into Death Valley and drop 60 on their head, by the way.
Hey, Jake, I'm going to be honest. The reason I picked Alabama to win that game at LSU is because I do feel like Jalen Milroe is going to torch that defense. Even if they've gotten a little bit better, I've just seen so many Alabama quarterbacks go in there and run in circles, man. I don't know. The Spidey senses, Jake, were tingling on that one.
Yeah, I think we're gonna put up a lot of points. But I want to get to – I want y'all to tell me what y'all think about how I have the Big Ten finishing up, or at least the top of it.
Ooh, yeah.
Come on. Penn State at 10-2, losing to Ohio State and at USC. I got them beating West Virginia. And then I have Ohio State at 11-1, losing to Oregon. I have Michigan at 10-2, losing to Ohio State and Texas. And I have Oregon
and beating Oregon,
losing to Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, Michigan beating Oregon, and then Michigan and Ohio State go to the Big Ten championship game.
No way.
Wow. And who wins that?
And Michigan's going to get their revenge 2 weeks later.
Bro, I don't like.
Come on, Jake.
Like, I think that's how an infinity.
I love to hear it. The Penn State at USC is a really interesting pick, and I looked at it for a while. I ended up going with Penn State winning that game to finish 11-1.
Dude, I think I actually picked USC to win that game because it's at USC, I believe.
I've got Oregon being the number 5 seed at 11-1 and missing because of the tiebreaker.
Yeah,
Michigan.
So hold on, you have Oregon.
No, I've got USC losing to Penn State.
You have Oregon, the number 5 overall seed in your 12-team playoff. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So then, where do you have the Buckeyes?
I've got the Buckeyes at 8.
At 8. So that's going to be an interesting question that's going to keep coming up.
How much does the
conference championship loss affect the seeding for a team that still gets the at-large bid? Because here, the Buckeyes will be penalized with that, whereas Oregon gets the first.
I wonder if they treat it like if you lose, you didn't play that extra game. I wonder if that's how they treat it. Because if you win, if you're one of those 4 conferences, you automatically get a top 4 spot. You're in the playoff. It doesn't matter. If you're, you know, Georgia and you're 12-0, like I said, and you lose to Ole Miss, who's 11-1 in the SEC championship, now Georgia's 12-1, do they say, all right, we're reseeding this thing. Ole Miss has to be a top 4 seed. Georgia can't be a top 4 seed. But in the reseeding, Georgia's really 12-0.
Or what happens if you're Alabama and you beat Georgia in the regular season and you lose in the conference championship like I have, then you will have already beaten the one team that you did lose
to. Well, to me, not to get too far off, where I think it really is that scenario is going to matter the most is like the way I have it in the Big 12, where Kansas State ends up 10-2, Oklahoma State goes 11-1, Utah goes 11-1, Kansas State beats Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma State plays Utah in the conference championship and loses. So now Oklahoma State is 11-2 overall. Kansas State is 10-2 overall, but Oklahoma State got beat by Kansas State in the head-to-head. Do they put Kansas State in there? Yeah. Like,
it's good stuff, Jake.
It's going to be interesting.
I like it, man.
Yeah. One quick question, and then I'll get off there and let y'all answer it. I want all of y'all to answer. What was the hardest game that y'all had to pick that y'all kept going back and forth on?
Talking about in the playoff or like just overall?
No, in Power Four, out of all the Power Four games, out of conference.
It's a really good question.
The hardest?
And I'll hop off and I'll let y'all all answer that one real quick.
Who wins Arkansas at Mississippi State?
That was your toughest one? You know, I'll have to say Miami against Florida, even though I had thought about it for so many weeks that by the time I made my checklist, I knew who I was going to have winning. The only one that I actually scratched out and rechecked off was the Ole Miss LSU game, which we just got done talking about. But that Miami Florida game could go either way, man.
Yep. I'd say LSU Ole Miss.
LSU Ole Miss. I can see that.
Texas A&M Notre Dame's another one,
That's
man.
That's a tough one, too, man.
Yeah. Jake, great call, dude.
Appreciate it, Jake. All right, let's go to Ben in Iowa. Ben, you a Hawkeyes fan?
Yes, sir. What's going on, boys?
Blaine's got y'all in there. Blaine's got y'all flying y'all's ass in there. Like
represent.
All right, I got to ask, what is Iowa's true ceiling this season? Like, how good?
Like ceiling as in, like, how many games can y'all win, or can y'all win a national championship?
Well, we know they can't win a national championship.
Okay.
I like you already.
In a playoff game, if they get that far,
11-1.
I think so too.
I think they can win one playoff game. I think they can win one playoff game.
I don't think you can beat Ohio State on the road. I think all the other teams on that schedule in the regular season, I could see you beating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think you can win the Big Ten. I think you got the possibility to win one playoff game, but it's got to be the right draw.
Yep. Right draw. Maybe you could match up against someone like a Missouri who gets in. Maybe
even a Tennessee that you got a young quarterback or something like that.
Yep,
that's about where I got it.
Yeah, I've been loving hearing all these fans of teams that Iowa beat last year coming and talk about how bad the offense is.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Yeah. Like you guys are like the ugliest pretty people ever. Like, everybody just craps all over y'all, and you look like, they went 10-2. Like, God almighty. Hey, like, you, they talk about it. They talk about they it like should, I was, like, Iowa 4-8.
I think Iowa should be studied. Because, like, as bad as they're, like, they'd win 10 games with the worst. You basically don't have an offense.
No.
I mean, they're going to lose week one to Illinois State.
Passing yards.
They're going to lose without Kirk Ferentz, you know, now that he's been suspended. But after that.
Yeah, that game against Illinois State, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah. All right, great call.
Great call, man.
Thanks, Ben. Go Hawkeyes. All right, let's go to Craig in California. Craig, what's up?
Hey, boys. How you doing on this Lame and Dragon Friday?
What's up, yes. Craig? Football tomorrow.
Come on, rock!
Oh, yeah. I am excited for that. Hey, I've got my own 12-team CFP bracket that I would like you boys to critique here.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Number one seed, I've got SEC champion Georgia at 12-1 playing in the Peach Bowl for the quarterfinals.
Good start.
Number two, I have Ohio State at 12-1.
Yep.
They lose at Oregon in regular season, but get the revenge in the Big Ten championship game.
I have the exact same thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My three seed is the ACC champion, and you guys are going to be shocked by this.
Let me guess.
The SMU Mustangs.
I got SMU going
to All State Sugar Bowl.
I got SMU going 11-1, son.
Yeah, I have SMU going 12-1 to beat Miami to win the ACC and getting to New Orleans.
Okay.
God, let that happen, please.
My Big 12 champion is 12-1 Arizona.
Wow.
They lose to Kansas State on Friday the 13th, but but get their revenge against the Wildcats in the Big 12 championship, and they get the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay. Wow, I love it.
My five seed is Oregon. Mm-hmm. They would host number 12, Memphis.
That's exactly what I got. You got Oregon winning that game, right?
Yes.
All right, what's your next matchup?
Then I've got six-seeded Ole Miss against number 11, Penn State in Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's exactly what I got. Who you got winning?
I have Ole Miss winning that
good.
Game.
That's a good Craig. What you got next?
My 10 versus 7 is Miami versus Texas.
Okay. It's not bad.
Who wins?
And I would have Miami win that one by a hair.
Okay.
Then my 10-7 is Alabama and Michigan from the Big House.
Okay.
In Ann Arbor.
Yes. You got Michigan winning that one, huh?
I've got Kalen DeBoer getting his revenge on the Huskies.
Calm down, David.
All right, Craig. So who wins it? Who wins the Natty?
I have the Oregon Ducks taking down the Ole Miss Rebels in the national championship game.
All right. Dude, all right, Craig. We're going to see.
Lanning versus Lane Kiffin.
We're going to see. Wow. Next up. Hashtag next up.
Great Love call. It. Great Craig. Call, man.
Thanks for sharing, man. All right. Let's go to the state of South Carolina for two callers. First up, Nick, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nick, what's up, man?
First time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate it, bro.
Have three things. One for Jake here.
Okay.
First is a bet. So I have Rutgers going over 6.5 wins. Jake, can you tell me those 7 losses you got for Rutgers?
Yes, I can. Let me get into my handy dandy notebook. So glad you asked. Losing at Virginia Tech. I've got losing. Shut up, Blaine. Washington at home, at Nebraska, Wisconsin, at USC, at Maryland, and then at Michigan State. But to be honest with you, I would not be surprised if that overhit that you put in. You said it's 6.5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6.5.
I mean, they could beat Washington at home. They may end up even being favored, but I got Washington going 8-4.
I mean, Nick, one guy on the set has Rutgers going 9-3. That's all I'm saying.
You, I forgot. I have them 9-3,
right? I thought you had the 9-3.
I got them starting 7-0, man.
I have them at 8-4.
I see. I don't think that'd be crazy, though.
6-1, 7.
Not with that schedule. No. I don't think it'd be crazy.
The reason that was the biggest thing I saw this week from Jake is like everything looked good. I actually even like the SMU because I'm playing them as a dynasty right now. The only
game
for me was at Louisville.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm playing on Heisman mode, so hashtag
that a boy. That a boy.
But yeah.
Man,
that was a tough one for me.
Yeah, I've got but no
Rutgers,
ill.
Rutgers,
I like Cali McManus.
They don't play Michigan,
yep.
Ohio State, Oregon, or Penn State.
Yep.
They don't play any of those four teams. And they won 7 games last year. So pretty easy money. And then last thing here, I'm an Oregon fan living in South Carolina, but I see you guys are pretty high on them.
Yeah.
My thing is I watched Washington run all over them last year in the Pac-12 championship. I think they figured it out in terms of the run defense, but I still haven't gotten 12. I still got them going 12-0. So I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah.
I think
a lot of that.
What do you think about the run defense?
I think the run defense will be better, especially with Dan, obviously running the controls. I think that was a mixture of a couple things. Washington's ability to throw the ball, they kind of threw to run. Dan almost treated the pass game as, a lot of times they would just spit the ball out quick to try and get in 2nd and 6. And Oregon offensively, it's funny. Will Stein does the same thing. You watch Oregon do this all the time. They'll just spit the ball out and use that quick pass game, that RPO game is kind of an extension of the true run game that you would do in early downs. And then also you got to remember not only that, Washington had the offensive line won the Joe Moore Award last year. That was an incredible collection that they had there of guys that could really play. So that wouldn't keep me up at night. I honestly think, and Danny Cannell said this is the best roster Miami's ever had. I think this is the best roster Oregon's ever had. Mm.
I think so, too. I mean, the 2014-2015 team, you could see the depth wear off when they were playing Ohio State in the national championship. Like, at third, fourth quarter, you could just see the bodies just were not there.
For sure.
So, yeah, I mean, that's
that's and then the last thing here, I think you guys are going to I think the committee has a big problem when they sit down to do these 12 teams, especially the 9, 10, 11 range.
Yeah.
Because the first five, I think, are pretty easy. And then the 12 seed, obviously. So that's six. But I was doing the picks last night. And that 9, 10, 11, I mean, I have so many 10 and 2s in there.
That's what I've been trying to tell everybody.
And that's good.
Yeah, that's good. Like,
that's good. That's a good
thing. Well,
it's good, but it's bad for
some. If you're the committee, you hope Notre Dame makes the playoff because that's just one less problem you have to deal with.
Like, well, again, unless it's like 10 and 2 and it creates even more controversy, like what Danny was saying. What you really want is you want Notre Dame to be undefeated or 11-1. So then it's like, hey, it's not on us. They played their way in, right?
Hey, great call, man.
Thanks, Nick.
Call back.
All right, let's go to Kevin in South Carolina. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Kev?
So I guess I'll get a few things out of the way first. You know, just like last caller, long-time listener, first-time caller, and thanks for letting me be part of your trust tree.
Oh, dude, always.
Thanks for being part of it.
So I'm just going to take the moment here so I don't do it at the end, but Buc-ee's is mid, but I'm going to be one of the...
Wow.
But
what did you say?
Personal preference, because I cook better than there, so that's fine.
Okay.
But to each their own, and that's the huge Walmart thing. Anyways.
I'm glad you got that off your chest.
Yeah, I had to get that off my chest because...
There you go.
I can kind of agree with one of the previous callers, and the last caller is going to be kind of funny. I'm going to be the guy that says Michigan's going to go 12-0.
Talk to me, Kevin. You're in the trust tree.
I think so. Definitely.
12-0 with a natty, right? Natty undefeated run.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I'm not going to push cards too far out there, but with the spreads only being a field goal and a half maybe between Texas, Oregon, Ohio State, I would still take Michigan, especially after being America's team last year. I'll take bet all day.
I've got Texas beating Michigan.
Was Michigan America's team?
America's team. Did you not hear hashtag?
I'm pretty sure everyone hated Michigan.
Did you just hear what Kevin called?
Hold on.
Kevin said it is true.
Let me end this debate right now. Did Michigan win it all?
Yes, they did.
Did Michigan have an incredible spying operation behind the scenes that helped them win it all?
A what?
Just
a spying operation.
A spying operation.
It's spinal.
No.
They did incredible practice work.
Well, here's the thing, David. If you said yes, I would have been like, they are America's team. Are you kidding me?
No.
Have you seen our playbook in America?
Well, I'm not saying they spied.
It's more America, not
I've seen three spies since the show started.
I'm not saying they spied, but Edward Snowden's already done a whole documentary.
Yeah, they were. They're the most America's team ever. Hey, you're rich and great, a great spying organization.
All right, Kevin, call in before that Texas game. All right, brother?
I can't believe the Buc-ee's take, Kevin. I'm going to be honest.
And then also, because I was trying to call in on Tuesday, Jake, congratulations on your upcoming daughter.
Yeah.
Mine was just born on Tuesday.
No way.
Congrats, Kev.
Yeah, we're hoping to get her out of the hospital tomorrow. And,
good. Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah, she rounds out number 4 for us. So
there you go.
Congratulations,
Kevin. Yeah, that's awesome.
Go
brother.
Blue, brother.
Yeah, Kev.
And one day, be the great.
Learn to love Buc-ee's, Kevin.
See you, man.
Hey, great call, Kev.
All right, quickly, like 10 seconds. Jimmy, what's on your mind?
Come here.
10 seconds, Jimmy.
Jimmy doesn't know.
Well, first of all, as a Georgia fan, I accept 2 out of your 3 playoffs.
Yeah. Like it's Jimmy.
Yeah, what a terrible year, Jimmy.
You know, his brother, the singer.
Real tough. But overall, the trap game of the year has to be
Georgia-Auburn.
Don't say it, Jimmy!
No, it's not,
what
bro.
What trap?
We go
Auburn's
up there
gonna
and
win,
get,
guys.
What a trap
every year.
You can't make a team your homecoming and play them right after the one team that's beaten you in the past. What, 3 years?
Jimmy, nobody at Auburn knows or cares or is thinking about y'all scheduled for homecoming. The host of the show definitely didn't do a whole monologue on it one time.
Exactly. Like, you want to make everyone angry, and then all of a sudden it's, oh, hey, if Georgia beats Alabama in Tuscaloosa, you come home for homecoming?
You know what Georgia did to Auburn? You know what? It's kind of like the real life, like, analogy of what like it is. It's like when you mistake, you think a girl's pregnant, she's not. That's like kind of what it's like. It's like so embarrassing. It's like, oh my God, when do you do? Oh, we're not pregnant. Oh, but yeah, by the way, we're playing you for homecoming. Like, that's even worse, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, appreciate it, Jimmy.
Jimmy, great call.
All right, anybody else on the line, please call in Monday.
Yes.
Say Pongo.
Oh, we know you'll call in Monday. That slate of games.
Yeah, we're going to get trapped.
All right, we got locks, leans, and dogs. And then we're going to get to the chat.
Roof.
This is going to be our bet segment today. Throw mine up. Throw my locks, leans, and dogs up. All right, here's what I got. Okay, you know what? I'm going to get up and walk back here. All right? It's time I stand up and move around. Now, listen. We had an incredible year betting last year. Make sure you go to betonline.ag, use promo code BOOSTER. Don't have a huge slate, but at least we get to bet college football. So we have locks, we have leans, and we have dogs. The rule for dogs is it must be plus 200 or more. That's the rule we established last year.
I did not know that.
All right, well, we can start doing that next week.
It's a new year, Jake.
It's a new year.
Maybe we didn't establish rules of a foundation of what we wanted to do.
All right, here's what I got. Here are my locks. Montana State, New Mexico. Over 54.5. I think Montana State may put up a 40 piece by themselves. Bronco Mendenhall taking over New Mexico. Dampier's a quarterback I think can run around, create a little magic. I'm going to talk about the side in a second, but I like the over here. I think it could hit and hit big. And then Delaware State, all right, missed the flight. Defense going to miss a lot of tackles, even though they do have an NFL player on the defensive line. Give me the Hawaii total team points over 48. That's at minus 135. That first one, the over for Montana State, New Mexico, is at minus 110. Then my leans, SMU. That's right. Your boy believes. Hashtag Rhett. It's a good bet. Give me their TTP. Against a Nevada team that did hire Jeff Choate. He's a defensive guy. He was, you know, defense coordinator at Texas. They brought in the old DC at Boise. But the players aren't good. So give me SMU's TTP over 40.5 at minus 140. And then I bought this up. All right, this line has moved. It's at plus 13.5 right now. I bought it up to 14.5. Give me New Mexico, plus 14.5 at home against Montana State. It is the biggest spread in the history of spreads when an FCS team is favored going to play an FBS team, and it keeps going up. The sharps are going to come in on the other side tonight. It's going to go back down. I got that at plus 14.5 at minus 135. Shout out to my boys up there. Then my dogs, first to 10 points. Give me New Mexico. Plus 200, because why not? Don't think they're going to win the game, but they make it to 10 points first. Then the first score of the game in Florida State versus Georgia Tech tomorrow is a field goal, plus 220.
All right. I love it.
So if Georgia Tech was money line plus 185 against Florida State, that wouldn't qualify for an underdog pick?
Not if we do it the way we did last year. I remember it was 200 because we talked about it multiple times.
Yeah, we might
times.
Do a little bit different this year.
But we can do it a little bit different. Yeah. We can talk about it. Listen, this is week zero. This week doesn't exist, David. This is just extra. None of this happened. You're not here right now.
All right, let's get to mine. Locks, Florida State, Georgia Tech, under 55.5.
Big under guy.
Be a lot of handoffs and a lot of good defense. That's minus 110. Yes, I am big on the unders right now. SMU, minus 25.5. Let's go ahead and just get started off with a bang.
Come on, let's go.
Y'all got 11 wins to cover over here for my guy, Jake. Let's go ahead and set the tone early in the season. Minus 25.5, minus 110. I'm leaning Georgia Tech plus 10.5 at 9.5. I don't like it so much, but the touchdown plus the field goal plus the hook, I'm leaning that way right now. Montana State, our boy, what's
his name? Sam.
Our boy Sam, Montana State, minus 13.5. Let's cover that two touchdowns.
Good, win by 14. I would love that.
And then dogs, look, I was just looking for some plus money action here, which I got Georgia Tech plus 4 in the first half at plus 114. And then SMU, TTP, what'd you have?
I got the SMU TTP over 40.5 at minus 140.
Not good enough. I want plus money. TTP over 43.5. Let's go ahead and put up 59 on them.
I hope they score a million, David.
All right, let's get it. It's time. Week zero. We're getting our toes in the water. We're not fully jumping in yet. My lock it up. All right, lock it up. You lock it up. Give me Georgia Tech plus 11.5. I bought this up a point. That's going off at minus 120. And give me SMU minus 25.5. David, I'm rolling with you. On that one, that is minus 110 as well. I'm going with Montana State minus 13.5. I think they cover this. I was going off at minus 110. Hawaii. Delaware did not get the fight. This will be an ass beating of a lifetime. Give me Hawaii minus 39.5. Georgia Tech and FSU.
Wow.
My dogs. Tied?
Georgia Tech FSU tied at half.
Okay.
Plus 920.
That'd be a big start for the kid.
Wow.
I mean, the odds there, I just love it. And then if I'm going to bet the spread, it's week zero. No one really knows until they hit the field. Give me Georgia Tech. Haynes King, I'm not talking about underwears or ketchup. Plus 340 on the money line. Believe. Slap it. Ted Lasso.
Man, can y'all believe Hawaii is favored by 40 points?
That's how bad Delaware. I think Delaware State is supposed to be the worst team in the MEAC.
Well, Delaware State's so bad that when I played them, I went 3-for-3 and threw for like
seven. David, first of all, don't talk about yourself.
All right, let's get to the chat. Dog.
All right, if you donated today, thank y'all so much. We're going to start it off with a $5 donation from the guys. Donations who are finally coming through. Cole Newman.
Finally.
All right. Attempt number three to see if my super chat goes through. Feel like Ben Shapiro getting shadow banned on Twitter before Elon. Hashtag free me, please. Hashtag stashes are for creeps.
Cole, the message he's got to come in hot. You break out of prison, you break out screaming.
$5 donation from Matt. Appreciate it, Matt. It's Matt from Ohio. Hook 'em. My first round is beautiful. Memphis versus Texas. Ole Miss versus Oregon. Michigan versus UGA and Miami versus Ohio.
All these matchups would be so fire. I mean, it's just...
$5 donation from Tyler Perry. Appreciate it, Tyler. LSU will play Oklahoma in the final week of the season. The winner gets a spot in the SEC championship. Both teams vastly slept on.
I don't believe you, but who the hell knows?
$5 donation from JM. Aloha, gents. Aloha to you. Tropical storm heading to Honolulu. May get rainy and windy. Feels like a run-focused game for both teams.
May get rainy or windy?
You want to rethink your 39 and a half?
Hold on. No.
Me neither. Give me the whole...
$10 donation from Jeremy. Appreciate it, Jeremy. Cone, as they say up north, I'm going to give a bet. I'll give you the boys in blue plus 7.5 in the game. You get $50 and a lifetime supply of rolls of Buckeye TP.
Mm.
I win, I'll take $100, and you have to save the Ohio State forever.
7.5.
Plus.
7.5. I get 7.5 points.
You get 7.5.
Let's do it.
Mm. All right,
I lose $100. Is that what it is?
$100, and you have to say the Ohio State forever.
Well, yeah, y'all better cover then.
Yeah. All right. So a $2 donation from Tyler. Mario Anderson, Memphis, most underrated running back in college.
Nice. No, Memphis football. Got Rock Taylor's nice too.
$5 donation from Quattro. If JMU doesn't have the offseason it had, they have been in consideration for your G5 spot. So hype for the season and always roll Duke.
Yeah, because Cignetti took pretty much Ohio's quarterback and the rest of James Madison up to Indiana. So, yes, I think they would have.
It's got a Falcon $5 donation. Who do we hate? Boise State. Boise ain't a state, but y'all are ass. BSU fans put ketchup on steak. Hashtag go Vandals.
Yeah, they're
hashtag
opening,
go Vandals.
Guess where they
open
their season? In Paulson Stadium.
Yeah.
Statesboro, Georgia.
Come on. I think Georgia Southern's like plus 12.5.
Right? Let's go. Just name new starting quarterback. Tonight's French.
It's going to be a good night.
Biddy French.
Ooh, the Frenchman.
Frenchman.
Uh-huh.
They said he hadn't...
He's coming.
100 plays, he hadn't turned the football over. That'd be an improvement.
Yeah. Wow. $12 donation and 34 cents from Booster Club Cards. Flammy Dragon. Always knew you were my favorite after Cone's picks. I hope you didn't get any of the Buckeyes I sent last month. $10 good one, Steve. $10 donation from Shane. Appreciate it, Shane. After seeing everyone's college football playoffs, I must say that I'm perturbed that Blaine didn't have my dogs winning at all. With that said, someone lost getting a gift on the next Gay Uncle Appreciation.
Yeah.
you're
I didn't
gay
know.
Uncle?
Like, is this something you did on Walsh's show?
What did he say again?
I don't know. It said something about me being a gay uncle.
I didn't say that you were. I was talking about the absurdity of every day now is some international day.
Somehow.
You know, we got like, oh, it's National Hot Dog Day. Let's go grill hot dog. No. Like, I already eat hot dogs. I don't need you to name a day after it. And so I looked up the craziest days, and one of them was Gay Uncle's
Day.
Well,
that's...
His association with you, you must put off that vibe with
that's,
that.
That's I don't think so, that's, this that's crazy the other day. Because you know what today is?
Huh.
It's National Complaining Day.
Yeah, and I hear a lot of complaining.
$2 donation from Ryan Gates. Hashtag Smack Talk Friday. Jake's Lou Holtz impression sucks.
That's what I'm thinking about. You know what?
I'm not. $5 donation from Daniel. Appreciate it, Daniel. Penn State plays Liberty in the first round. Just like the Eagles this year, they lose because y'all ass. Doesn't matter. Auburn wins it all anyway. Hashtag we did it. Hashtag Nick Saban's trans.
What?
Who said that?
Read anything you put in the prompter.
$10 donation for Peyton Williams. As a Georgia fan, I think we're going 11-1 with a close loss to Texas.
Oh,
also, I think
miss.
A lot of people are sleeping on Kentucky this year, going to sneak up on a lot of potential playoff teams.
like Tennessee, I might have added the hashtag Nick Saban.
There's some unknowns about Kentucky, but there's some. I got them going 7-5.
All right, Paul, if you donated today, thank you so much. Who will win the national championship? All right.
What are the choices?
The choices are Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, and other.
Ooh, other.
You're going other?
It's not the answer. It's Georgia, and it's 37%.
Oh, I was okay. Now I'll go other 38%.
All right. So the polls are Georgia, 30%.
30.
Ohio State, 14%. Oregon, 12%.
Come on.
Other, 44%.
Ooh, 40 what?
44%. A couple of new people. I've got some new people in here in the chat. Let's go ahead and knock them out. B. Dugby, what's up? He says, Texas can't run Meade. Mean third and long. They're soft up front on both sides of the ball. What do y'all think?
I don't think they're soft. I think the offensive line's pretty good. I want to see the replacements on the interior of the defensive line. That's what I need to see, and that's why playing Michigan, you're going to know pretty early.
Yeah. Go to Ty Smith, who's an Auburn fan. He says, Jake, I can't wait to get my heart broken again.
Yep.
Fall is really in the air. Do you think Peyton Thorne is good enough to do it?
If we're going to say good enough to go 9-3, I think he is good enough to go 9-3. Anything past that, I don't. I do think he's going to be better for multiple reasons that we've gone over, but this is a bridge to 2025. This at least 8-4. Let's get some positivity, put it in a popsicle, and let's go home.
Let's go to Jackson Kinnett. What's up, Jackson? Real question is, how does a team who uses white corners get a recruiting violation?
He's going to fit right in.
Oh, what a
question.
You're
going to fit right in. That's
for Cade McNamara. Yeah. They got a recruiting violation.
All right, let's go to Jack. He's like, fellas, this might be the craziest take of all time. But there's any chance that Michigan State gets the 12 seed?
I mean, they said the monkeypox pandemic could be bad. So outside of that, I don't think so.
Don't do that, man.
Cone, any chance?
Yeah, Aiden Childs, best player in the history of football. That's
you hear what
Aiden
Childs says?
That's what's going to take.
You see what he said the other day? They asked him, like, so what do you think about the the upcoming game? He's like, if you bet, take the over.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Now, hey, that's a 12 seed.
I don't know. That kind of makes me want to take the under.
Yeah, literally. All right, let's go to Andrew Jackman. He says, Miami wins the ACC and plays Notre Dame in the quarterfinals. Give me your thoughts. I think Notre Dame is better than what people think.
They could be Notre Dame. That was hard for me to keep them out. I just think they lose when they're not supposed to, and that's at Georgia Tech. But we appreciate you guys. Appreciate Danny Cannell. We've got an incredible lineup of shows for you tomorrow. Obviously, Blaine wins Flaming Dragon Friday.
Yeah, I win Flaming Dragon Friday, so let me close the show.
Oh, go ahead then.
All right.
Go ahead.
And just like the chances, all right, of Alabama fans not getting ass hurt with their name not even in the tweet, we're going. Oh!
Republicans are Nazis. You cannot separate yourselves from the bad white people.
Growing up, I never thought much about race. Never really seemed to matter that much, at least not to me.
Am I racist?
I would really appreciate it if you left.
I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
If I'm going to sort this out, I need to go deeper undercover.
They don't say I'm racist.
Joining us now is Matt, certified DEI expert.
Here's my certifications.
And what you're doing is you're stretching out of your whiteness. Listen more for you in this field.
Is America inherently racist?
The word inherent is challenging there.
I want to rename the George Washington Monument to the George Floyd Monument.
America is racist to its bones.
So inherently.
Yeah, this country is a piece of...
White
folks,
white
trash,
white supremacy,
white woman, white boy.
Is there a black person around
here? What's a black person right here? Does he not exist?
They don't say I'm racist.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Matt.
I just had to ask who you are because you have to be careful.
Never be too careful.
They gonna say you racist.
Buy your tickets now in theaters September 13th. Rated PG-13.